Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
We're now coming to the pretty close to the conclusion of chapter 10. And obviously we have been seeing the Lord's glory in response to the Arjuna's question and say, I understand this, but in my meditation, how should I worship you? Because my mind is not really at this point, at a point where it can focus on the abstract nature of the Lord. So give me some pointers which I can focus on, which is within the capability of my mind, that I can see that as the Lord's divine glory, and then I can meditate upon that. In that response, Bhagavan saying, look, my glory is infinite. However, since you asked for it, I will point out some examples which are obvious, which you can focus on. And then we have seen that there are 75 examples Bhagavan is giving. We have seen these examples came from Vedas, from Puranas, from Itihasas, from our daily life, Arjuna's daily life, and our own self. So the last three verses are quite interesting because the Bhagavan says, Vrishninam Vasudevo Asmi. Among the Vrishnis, and we know from the historical point of view, the Vrishnis are the clan of Kshatriyas, which Krishna belongs to. He is the descendant of Vrishnis. He said, among the Vrishnis, who are pretty successful warriors and kings, he said, I am Vasudeva, himself, Krishna. Krishna is called Vasudeva because he is the son of Vasudeva. Vasudeva is Krishna's father. Vasudev is Vasudev's son is called Vasudev. Just Kunti's son is called Kaunteya, because Arjuna is called Kaunteya because Kunti's son. Puru's daughter is called Pauravi, the Puru king's daughter is Pauravi. Same way Vasudev's son is Vasudev. We have this verse which we chant all the time, Vasudeva Sutam Devam. You are the son of Vasudev. So it's called Vasudeva. So he refers to himself and said, among the Vrishnis, I am Vasudeva. With the most glorious of the Vrishnis, obviously, who? Krishna himself. So he is not even afraid of pointing out to himself as the manifestation of the divine. And then he says, Pandavanam Dhananjaya. Among the Pandava, Dhananjaya, you are nothing but my own manifestation as Dhananjaya. This is something, it's also for us to reflect that the divine self is none other than my own self. Now here obviously he's pointing out the best among particular class of people, particular group of seers and sages. And in my family, I may be considering myself to be the best. Then within myself, I may not be at my best all the time. And therefore, when I'm at the low end of my expression, I may not be expressing my divinity. But when I'm glowing with inspiration and manifesting the best within me, that Bhagavan says is my own manifestation within you. In the beginning, he did say in the 8th verse, Aham Prabhava Sarvasya, I am the source of all beings. Matta Sarva Pravartate, everything is pervaded by me. But when you are at the best in your position, that's where you feel his presence the most. So my divinity is present when I am expressing my own self. So Pandavanam Dhananjam, among the Vrishnis and Vasudeva, Krishna himself. Because who can be better than me representing my own clan? Who can be better than you? You represent your own family. And that's because of the Lord's presence. The consciousness functioning through me, when I identify with that, I am at my best. Muninam api aham vyasaha. Among the munis or the sages, I am vyasa. Because Swamiji points out, it's not the vyasa is blowing his own trumpet, because this Bhagavad Gita is written by Vyasa. Mahabharata is written by Ved Vyasa. So he is himself writing, aham muninam aham vyasaha. Bhagavan said, no. It's also pointing out that among the literary sages who has given out this literature about the self-knowledge, the Brahma Jnana, Vyasa is considered the most prolific and the best. Now, obviously, Sid is not here yet, but he can say Vyasa is not really one person. Not really important to all of us at this point, whether Krishna existed, Vyasa. What it says is, under the pen name Vyasa, the sage Krishna Dvaipayana has written all these sastras. And the big difference is the style of the sastras. That in the beginning, there were Upanishads to give out this knowledge. The style of that literature is the brevity, briefness. They're given out like the riddles or snippets of truth. And then it left to the student to contemplate on it, to come to the conclusion that yes, that is the truth. Now that probably is not the most appropriate for all the people. Some of us are not contemplative type. That's why I see the Indian serials. It really fascinates me. There is the 20 minutes of serial, obviously, the episode. And there are three times they will say, Aage dekhiye, see what's going to happen. Within that 20 minutes, they will about five times they tell you what's going to happen. So every about third minute, they tell you what's going to come in the next 2 minutes. Because they probably figured out, the people who watch the soap operas have a very little attention span. So unless they tell them that there is something interesting coming, they're going to switch over to another soap opera. We're going to tell you what's going to happen before it happens. So probably Bhagavan Vedvyasa has realized that a common man is not really conducive for contemplation on this brief statement of truth in Upanishads. So his style was to elaborate on the truth. Bhagavan Vedvyasa is considered Vedvyasa because of vastness of his literature, which explains in detail. Not only it explains in detail, but the repetition is the signature of Ved Vyasa's literature. Knowing that you will forget very easily what you learned, he constantly repeats the statement of truth over and over and over again, which is the style of Bhagavad Gita. What we learned in chapter 2, if we were good enough, we didn't have to go third chapter. But we went through all of that, and he continues to repeat the same idea over and over again. And that's the signature of Vedvyasa. And therefore, for a common man, he is the sage who has expounded this knowledge of Brahmagnan, of Upanishad, in a manner which I can digest. So therefore he says, Muninam Apiham Vyasaha, which is where the divinity is the most apparent to me. Is a common man and can contemplate on it. Kavinam usina kavihi. In our vernacular language, kavi is poet. In the scriptural literature, kavi is the one who is the poet of the sruti, one who has heard the knowledge and put it in a metrical form for the seeker to remember. The lineage of a seer and a seeker. Seeker can only remember if it is in a form, this knowledge transmitted to him, so that he can repeat it in his mind. So the knowledge of the seer, heard in his contemplation, put it to the meter in the mantra, and given to the seeker. The Swamiji says, it is printed directly from the seer's mouth onto the seeker's mind. And therefore, the kavis are considered the greatest of the seers who has given out these mantras in Vedas for seeker to repeat and contemplate on it. And among these rishis, Ushnakave is supposed to be the best. And Swamiji mentioned here that there is no real mention of Ushnakave found in Puranas or in literature. But somewhere it has been mentioned that Shukracharya is considered Ushna. So another name of Shukracharya is Ushna. Shukracharya is supposed to be the guru of the Daityas. You know, Ditis and Daityas, Aditis and Adityas, so Devas and Danavas, Devas and Daityas. Shukracharya was the guru of Daityas. And obviously he is considered the greatest because he has given out the great mantras in Vedas. That Ushnakave, the Shukracharya, who has given out such profound literature that he is considered one of the best. And he's the son of, I think, the Bhrigu Rishi. Among the Kavi, I'm Shukracharya. You can see here now that we didn't really have at the time the Daityas and Devas as the two distinct sections. You know, one is good and another is bad. Over a period of time, obviously, we divided them into one is good and another is bad. The next verse says, Dando Damayatam Asmi. So we are now going from completely different realm. We talked about myself and yourself are the expression of the Lord Divine. Bhagavan said, I function through you and I also function through I. Because there is not really any distinction between you and I other than my ignorance has created this duality between you and I. Then he also says, even the sages are no different than that. Or, as we have seen, the kavis, you know, the seers and the sages, they're all expression of the same Lord. But I can also come down the other side of the experiences in my life, which is Dando Damayatam Asmi. Among those who are the punishers. Who are the punishers? The one who are in the authority. Only the courts of United States or the circuit court or whatever can give out a punishment, you know, really. You know. We do it, it will become an assault and battery or something like that. Or something which is homicide or a felony. You know. But the court can do that because they have the power. So you say, Dando Damayatam Asmi, the danda, the scepter or the power. The authority given to them gives them the power to punish people who are worth punishing. So Bhagavan said, Dando Damayatam Asmi. I am that power, the authority in the powerful. Who is the authority? The kings and the courts and judges. Niti Asmi Jigishatam. And among the conquerors and the statesmanship, the diplomacy, you know. I may be the mightiest warrior and win everybody, but if I don't have the diplomacy, then the people will revolt against me and find a way to conquer me anyway out of my own stupidity. The physical might is not enough. We can have a carpet bombing and whatever we can do out of our military might. But if we can't conquer the hearts and minds of the people, our victory will not last long. Which we are finding out pretty quickly in the recent time. And therefore you say that some cultures have gone from one place to another and made their land their own, made their people their own. They have involved the local people into the culture they have brought. You know. This is the process of civilizing people. You know. Aryans can claim that they came to the India from wherever, and they civilized the entire subcontinent and rest of the continent around it by civilizing, influencing the people with their ideas and their culture. So that is the niti of the Jigishita, of the conqueror. Not the mighty might of just crushing down people. You will be ruling over the ghost towns and somewhere where there is nothing to rule over. Maunam cha eva asmi guhyana. And among the secrets, I'm silence. obviously this doesn't really require much elaboration, that secret only remains secret as long as I don't tell anybody. I start opening my mouth and tell people it's no more a secret. The silence is the essential nature of secret. What is the greatest secret in my life? What is the nature of myself? I'm trying to figure this out with all the noise of my mind and intellect. And I'm trying to find that silence, the secret of all the secrets through my mind and intellect, which is very noisy. And therefore, I'm completely unsuccessful in finding the nature of myself. Bhagavan said, to find that secret, you have to immerse into silence yourself to find that secret. Because the silence is the nature of secret. And the supreme secret of my life, if I want to find, I need to understand the nature of silence and become one with it. In other words, no thought of anything else in my mind. Mind is completely empty of any thought. Then only that silence, the secret, will reveal itself as what myself is all about. Jnanam jnanavatamaham. And I'm the knowledge of the knowers. Once the knowledge takes place, and I consider who I am because of the knowledge, what will be the essential nature of myself then? It is the knowledge which has taken place, becomes my own self. So the essence of a knower is his or her own knowledge. Essence of myself is the knowledge of myself about myself. So therefore Bhagavan says, Jnanam jnanavatamaham. Among the secret I'm silence, because right now I can't dig into my silence, and therefore it is secret. Once I establish myself into the silence, it's no more a secret. It actually becomes my knowledge. Now the knowledge becomes myself. So Bhagavan says, Jnanam jnanavatamaham. In last verse now takes us back to the 8th verse which I've seen. The 8th verse said, Aham sarvasya prabhavaha. Matta sarva pravartate. He started with that. He said, well, you are asking me to tell me your glory, but know that I am the source of all the beings and everything is pervaded by me. So you can think of anything knowing that and you will be fine. However, because you are not capable of doing so, let me give you some glorious example which your mind will readily accept that this got to be the Lord's glory. Now, given all these examples, Bhagavan is going back and said, Yat cha api sarva bhutanam bijam tad aham Arjuna. O Arjuna, whatever is the seed or the source of anything or a being is me. Whatever you consider is your sources, that's me. You can say, well, my body came from all these 5 elements, so earth is my source. I say, okay, that's me. You say, well, my being came through my birth. I say, well, that's me. Whatever you consider is the seed of anything or a being, Bhagavan says, tad aham Arjuna. Arjuna, I am that. The example obviously is given because it's another classical analogy in Vedanta, the seed and the tree. Seed has no outward manifestation what it can become, what the tree would be like. They too has no real relationship. We can, looking at the seed, we won't be able to say what the tree would be like unless we've already seen that tree before. But once it manifests into its full glorious tree, it has nothing to do with seed at all. You can say what the seed will like. However, all the qualities of the tree were inherent and dormant in that seed. So Bhagavan said, everything that you see is your own glory. Everything you see is the glories in this world. And everything you see is the glory of anything divine or devilish. The seed is me. Is only coming into existence because of me. And therefore, yachapi sarva bhutanam Bijam Tadaham Arjanam. That source is me. Na tad asti vina yatsyan maya bhutam chara acharam. There is no being chara or achara. This is a classical way of including everything in Vedanta. That which is moving and that which is not moving. So you can't really leave anything out. In this entire cosmos, in this entire jagat, everything that is moving, so which takes into consideration all the sentient beings, right from the amoeba to human beings, and achara, that's not moving. So anything that is matter, which you consider to insentient, it's not possible, Bhagavan said, without my being. They cannot exist without me. They only exist because I exist. You can only superimpose snake if a rope exists. My fear of snake creates snake in the body of the rope. But if there is no rope, snake cannot come into existence. This world of illusion which I see is because of the preconditioning of my mind, which projects, based on its preconditioning, what this world is all about. So when you and I think about Richmond, we have a very different superimposition on it. If it was the best experience I have in Richmond, I project that as one of the best. If I have the worst experience, I project the worst. So the projection of this world is depending on the preconditioning of my mind based on my own experiences. The Bhagavan says, and therefore, chara or achara is not possible without my being. We'll stop right here.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.